So welcome everyone to webinar part two, saying yes to life. The opportunity came up to where I had time in the same day to hold a webinar. It's been a while and just thrilled that you're here. There's quite a lot signed up for recordings, and we had a good number of people for the first webinar. Each webinar comes alive by what you bring to it. So I'm going to give an overview at the moment, in a moment, to this idea of saying yes to life. What that looks like, feels like, what it is, what difference that makes to say yes to life. And not just a yes that is in opposition to no, not a yes that has an opposite of no, but the yes that is openness. That is openness that we come into the world as. What difference that makes to the live life. And I'll guide us into it, a brief centering internal exploration before we go into that reflection. And then it comes alive, this idea comes alive with the where you're at, what you're experiencing in your unfolding, both in the insights you're gaining and the apparent obstacles that are in your way. And so that's what I look forward to most, is to join with you in inquiring into what's arising and to take a look from the viewpoint of lovingness, not from the viewpoint of judgment and making something wrong, but to inquire so that what we see that the mind is having an issue with is a beautiful gem revealing of truth. And of an opening as a way forward. So let's first center into openness with an internal meditative inquiry. And if you like to close your eyes to become more meditative, feel free to close your eyes. I'm going to be keeping an eye open in case anybody else joins us. And as you sit in the quiet of your own space, allow into awareness any thought or feeling that you are here, not just here right now, but here in all daily moments to experience what you're really here for. That you're here for a purpose. Whether or not you are conscious of that we call a purpose, allow up the feeling or the thought that you're here to achieve, to express, to share yourself in some way. Whether or not you are aware of what that looks like, or whether you are on the path of expressing yourself in life. And whatever arises as you bring this thought and feeling and idea to mind, could you allow whatever feelings that arise to simply be here? Whether or not these feelings have anything to do with what the mind thinks you should be feeling, could you allow any internal image or memory to arise, to simply be here? And if there's any commentary, analysis, or narrative that's arising about why you are here and what you're here for, could you simply let that commentary arise? Could you simply be aware of it? And could you open to what's here? Could you move towards what's here? Not with judgment, not with an attitude of wanting to do something with what's here, but simply move towards what's here with curiosity. And could you drop any wanting to understand, to analyze, to make a meaning of? any wanting to change or improve or judge what's arising. Could you simply let what is arising now and now and now to be the way it is? And check to see if there's any wanting to push anything away, anything that's arising away, or hold on to what's arising. And if there's some push and some pull, could you simply notice this? And check to see if any of what is arising, any feeling, sensation, image, memory, narrative. Check to see if any of this feels personal to you. Feels like it defines you, limits you, describes you, or is about you. And could you allow this feeling that it's personal to be here? Could you open to this feeling that it's personal? And could you allow this openness to be relaxed? Is it possible to drop any trying to be open? And whatever is arising inside of openness, whatever sensation, feeling, image, is it possible to simply let what arises arise and also let go and return into openness? And is it possible to simply be in this moment, to be present, to be open, for there to be an absence of any wanting to do something with or about what may be arising in openness? And simply rest into and as openness. And without losing touch entirely, as openness, is it possible to become conscious of sensations arising that are associated with the body sitting? And simply allow these sensations associated with the body sitting to be here? And is it possible to become conscious of the nuance, the subtlety of being aware of a space, a room, a place that you're sitting in, not just in time and space as a location, but also in this vast online space, even now? And when you're ready, allowing the eyes to gently open. Okay, thank you. So the theme or well, the idea of openness arises in relation to our daily lived life with the idea of being in a posture, having a shape of openness that is the equivalent of saying yes to life, being open to life. And I'm going to invite you to consider that this shape, this inner energetic shape that interfaces and meets the moment, whatever is arising, is absolutely natural. is our true nature, is the shape of our true nature. We're here to be open to what we call life, what we call the world. This openness is another word for our true self, our true nature. We're here for our true nature to open to what we call the world. And this is completely natural. And for many, this openness is experienced as a feeling, a thought, an idea that we're here to share, that this openness is what allows sharing to happen. This openness is what allows to express uniquely our gifts, our perspective, our insights. So it seems to me that it's natural that we also can live with the feeling that we're here to share, we're here to give of ourselves. This feeling that we're here for something, to share, to give of something of ourselves, can though become hijacked by the beliefs that we adopt often early in life about who we think we should be, how we think we should behave, what we believe about what we think we should do with our life. And it seems to me that the naturalness of openness, of this natural posture that allows for sharing to happen automatically, if you like, means that what we're more like acorns than anything else. We're very much like acorns, like an acorn. Like an acorn, the purpose of the acorn, if you like, what the acorn is here for, is absolutely contained within the acorn. The acorn doesn't have to spend time contemplating and wondering what it's here for. The acorn is not stressed about that. Often we can experience this idea that we're here for a purpose, and what is it? And this feeling we're here for something can become an irritant, becomes what agitates or stresses us. And it leads to a feeling that we're not fulfilling ourselves. It leads to a feeling of discontent. We can get stuck with fighting with this impulse to share ourselves. You see, the issue here is not the thing that we're here for, it's not the shape of what we're here for that's the problem. And nor is the holding back or the feeling of stuckness the problem. Because what we're here for is already here. What we're here for is already here. We just need to open to what is already here. Like the acorn, just by being given a few essentials, like water and sunshine, cracks open and out comes an expression that begins to grow as an oak tree, reliably, consistently. So we just need a few essential ingredients. The nurture of the body mind, and just enough love in the sense of friendly encouragement in life. And the openness that we are, that opens to reveal what we are uniquely here to share and to give and to offer and to create, will start to reveal. Will start to reveal. Like the acorn, we don't need to push or manipulate our being to allow this that we're here for to express itself. We simply need to open. And there's the template, there's the map, there are the ingredients, that there's the knowing. So this is to occupy an inner posture of yes, saying yes to life. Sometimes you see, and the skill, if you like, the What's needed to be cultivated is some patience, because the template is already here, but the timing may not be here for a full expression. Maybe learning that's needed along the way. No. So we can cultivate occupying this inner posture energetically, vibrationally. We're born as this shape. I would offer to you that a newborn baby is born in the shape of openness. Of course, we think the baby's born in the shape of a little baby, but energetically speaking, is born as openness. And we may call that innocence. There are no preconceived ideas that the baby has. There's no opinion, there's no judgment happening. There's simply openness, there's curiosity, there is attention that is being drawn to the what arises. There's attention being drawn to what arises. And there's a capacity that is inbuilt for learning to happen. The nervous system, the brain, the learning of coordination, the learning of language, the learning of walking, talking. And this all happens automatically. It's a miracle of learning. The baby does not need to be forced to learn to walk. At least I hope that, baby's not being given crash courses in learning how to walk. There's an impulse that arises. The baby in that learning of walking is learning, is expressing themselves through the learning and activity of walking. This learning is inbuilt. The baby doesn't have an instruction manual of how to walk. It's an impulse. And that impulse comes when it comes. Children, it's a certain, it's one age, and then the brother or the sister, it's a different age. Thankfully, hopefully, families recognize there's a timing for every baby and child with that learning mode. Now, this learning that is demonstrated so clearly by children learning to walk and talk is a free expression occurring. Learning happening automatically, no coaching, no instruction manual needed, and an expression occurring of walking happening, of talking happening. And then what happens, this young open being comes under the influence of the opinions, the ideas, and the beliefs of family, of educators, of society, of culture. And the child begins to take on the predominant beliefs. And the child also begins to harbor, take on conclusions that they are making or attempting to make as their conceptual capacity develops to make sense of the world. And often child conclusions are incomplete only because they don't have a full experience of the lived life yet. They don't have perspective. And so then what is a natural expression becomes influenced by lots of rules, regulations, shoulds and shouldn'ts, and incomplete conclusions about life. And these incomplete conclusions and beliefs that are taken on exist in the unconscious. And then what happens is that as the child grows and there's a development of agency and an idea that may be absolutely pure from the deepest knowing of what we're here for, starts to emerge as a feeling and a sense and an impulse, and then it becomes distorted because the unconscious beliefs about what I think I should be doing, what I think I should do with my life, hijack and distort the expression of this pure emerging impulse. And then that can lead to confusion, and we can have a young adult begin a career path and 40 or 25 years later they reach the pinnacle of their career and they realize that they never wanted to be this at any point. Why did I choose this career? And I don't want to be here. So when we are experiencing this feeling, this impulse that we're here for something, the invitation here is to keep this clean, let this desire be pure. When this desire is respected, even if we don't know the shape of the thing that we're here for, what it is we're here to share of ourselves or create, even if we don't know, if we start to feel entangled or distressed or upset that we don't know, or if we start to take action in the world and we start to feel there are obstacles and we start to doubt and don't trust the trajectory we're on. These moments where we feel confused or stuck, facing an obstacle or doubting, these moments are not telling us that we're getting it wrong, that we're having a problem. They are revealing that what is being triggered in the unconscious are beliefs, limiting beliefs, beliefs that are not aligned with our true potential. We don't need to spend decades of our life digging into the unconscious to discard them or destroy them or replace them. We don't need to spend hours and hours a day trying to reprogram our beliefs. We just need to recognize when what is arising is the result of an unconscious belief being triggered. When what is arising feels sticky, awkward, an obstruction, a problem, an issue, a holdback, a withdrawal, a contraction, all of this that feels uncomfortable is in fact pointing to there is an existing or a mixture of conflicting unconscious beliefs that are hijacking, getting in the way of a free expression of what we're really here for. And what's called for here, where there is a feeling of discontent, indecisiveness, doubt, questioning yourself, a sense of feeling lost or overwhelmed or challenged or with withdrawing back into yourself. What's called for here is simply to open to all of this, all the sensations, the feelings, the images, the narrative, open. Not try to do anything with these feelings, not try to change them, fix them, improve them, get rid of them, avoid them, reprogram them, not do anything. Simply open, open, open. And then openness becomes the experience. And this openness has no limits, has no limits. Even to the feeling of overwhelm, to being convinced that you've reached the end of your capacity and you can't deal with what's in front of you, it's possible to open wider. And what's experienced is this. Simply an openness, a space within which all feelings come and go. All feelings come and go, just like the sky. A space of light and openness, an infinite spaciousness within which all kinds of clouds simply come and go. And what remains is the sky. What is constant is the light, the shiningness, the clarity, the realization. Returning to the knowing of what we're here for. So openness is highly, openness is what allows your desire, the impulse, the intuition about what you're here for to remain pure, to remain pure. And wards off, if you like, helps to smooth out, helps to harmonize any discontent arising around the edges when you begin to open to what you're here for, begin to share of yourself. Whether the sharing of yourself looks like it's simply in what you cook for your family, or whether the sharing of yourself looks like building a business or a charity or something in the world that looks like a big shape. The openness is what allows for the potential disruption and constriction of unconscious beliefs being triggered to be harmonized, and for there to be a pure desire that is the equivalent of a constant beam of light, shining light on the path of the next step and the next step and the next step. So that's what I have right now for the reflection. And like I say, this idea and where you relate with it, or where you feel confused about it, comes alive in your experience. So I'd love to hear what's unfolding for you, how it looks to you, any sense of obstacle or irritation or confusion, and we'll just take a look together and see what's really attempting to reveal. So to come in with questions or something to explore, just unmute yourself and we'll take a look.
Hi Fiona, it's Marion. I'm curious about, say, the acorn. I'm trying to think of myself as an acorn and being having what I need to do already there. What if that acorn doesn't get the light or the water, and that acorn can't thrive? What can the acorn do to change the environment so they can become what they're destined to be?
Yeah, of course, it's a metaphor, and all metaphors have got their limits. But here's what comes up, Marin. In the live life, the human, the essential ingredients are some friendly, is a friendly environment, and I'm not saying 100% friendly. Talk to people, and you say, they talk about having a hostile growing up environment, but then you ask, what was it that kept you going? Without defining what kept you going looks like, what, who or what made a difference for you? And often it will be there's one person that in their life, one person in their life, or an animal or a tree or somewhere out in nature. It's incredible how life will deliver what's needed. We just need to be open to it, and children are open. And if it's one person, it can be where there's not even a strong relationship. Just this, a visit occasionally to this person was enough. Or a
Something you
tea.
said that stuck, it sticks in your mind.
Yes, there's a complete resonance where we can't, we won't even be, have a full awareness of just how nourishing these occasional moments are for us. But we know that somehow we know, even if we don't know how. We know that person, that situation, that animal, that tree made a difference.
I'm just seeing in some people I know who are just artists or musicians, or just have these beautiful things to express. But instead of spending their time doing that, they're working jobs so they can have healthcare. And so all that potential, all that expression, all that from my perspective of what they should be contributing doesn't happen, or at least not to the same degree. So I wonder how you get past obstacles like that.
Yes. So for the for when you have an awareness of what is to be expressed, and say it takes, looks like being an artist in some shape or form, then to the degree to which culture, a lot of developed, so-called developed culture, doesn't really offer a pathway for artists, an easy pathway with remuneration. And there's lots of myths about being a starving artist that keep getting fed. This is not a particularly helpful environment for the artist to be exposed to. But here's where openness can shift that paradigm. So, to the degree to which the artist is willing, in spite of all of the messages that don't bother, you won't get anywhere, in, holds on, stays true to, the, to their desire, and starts to find a way. So they start to, so they have a job, you know, that to bring in income and what they need in that sense, and they're doing their art when they can. Now, if the artist can be in a relationship of openness to that equation, as opposed to feeling beleaguered, feeling that they are giving everything to their job and can only do this amount, if they're in judgment, if that's not enough, if the mind is saying that's not enough, and it's coming from a judgment place, they will be getting stuck there. What, how is it possible to be liberated out of that confinement by perceiving culture as being this limiting culture where the artist finds it hard to breathe? How is it possible to experience a shift in the paradigm being lived is to be open, is to be curious. So the artist that feels frustrated, the artist that feels that they are just not giving all they can, and that's starting to bother them, that's starting to affect their sense of equanimity and happiness, so it looks to them, yeah, that's what needs to be open to. Open to that. Don't let that become the overwhelming experience, discontent, unfulfillment. Yeah. Let these feeling sensations be open to, allow this openness, which is the shape that allows for direct connection with our true desire. It is the shape and the energetic that burns through unconscious beliefs about I'll never make it as an artist. There's no point in me trying. Burns through all ideas of limitation. And then the world experience, life experiences can begin to shape shift because that artist is no longer now unconsciously bought into the belief, for instance, that I shouldn't be an artist or why bother. Then the free expression is automatic. It's going to start revealing. So this openness is sometimes arrived at without that artist being aware that they are cultivating openness, cultivating the exact posture that allows for a shift in a paradigm. And I had a conversation about 3 weeks ago with a young woman who was doing what you described. She did her best in a 9-to-5 job in the kind of tech world because she was somewhat techie. Yeah. So she was getting what she thought she needed, the income and the benefits and so on. And she was being also being completely honest with herself that she was feeling miserable because she wasn't doing the art, her art to the extent she feels she could. And she stayed true, but what she stayed true to was the art. And she started to live a question: how can I shift into living out my art, letting my art express? She just was living this question. She wasn't trying to force it to be answered by pushing anything. She just started to live the question. That's openness. And it just came to her one day that, oh, when I've got so much money in the bank saved up, didn't need to be a huge amount of money. Yeah, just when I've got that amount, I'm going to quit my job. It just came to her as an idea. And we had a conversation because she felt, am I okay doing this? Is this a good thing to do? Is this wise? And all that was needed was encouragement because this was all coming from her. The way was being showed from her openness and telling the truth about the desire that was remaining to be an artist and to express, and the willingness to, oh, just to be shown the way, how to be shown the way. And her own being was given the answers, well, save this amount and then quit your job. Yeah. Now, that mind that was still plugged into the unconscious beliefs that your life should look like this and you won't make it as an artist, there was still some belief in those beliefs, which led her to doubt herself. But she just knew to reach out for clarity, just for checking. Am I, is it okay to do this? And I didn't. That's not my job to say you're okay to do this, but just to encourage her to recognize that she knew she was okay to do this. This was coming from her. The acorn was opening. And there are artists that do make their way. There are many, many artists that do. And along the way of taking that step of expressing what you feel is your true desire in life, that will, to the degree to which there are unconscious beliefs that say, don't do this, or you're not here for that, you should be living this kind of a life, to the degree to which there are unconscious beliefs that lead us away from our true expression. When we do take a step in the direction of our true expression, those unconscious beliefs will get disturbed, will get triggered, and triggered as doubt, uncomfortableness, stickiness, uncertainty, worry, anxiety, whatever is the uncomfortableness. And to the degree to which those feelings are open to, there is a return to openness. There's a return to feeling at peace. And there's a return. This openness is translates as a feeling of fulfillment and contentment and peace and clarity. So, in other words, these awkward moments, these so-called obstacles, are only ways where we can return to fulfillment, contentment, and clarity. The ultimate purpose that we all have, just like the ultimate purpose of the acorn is always an oak tree, the ultimate purpose is to know that our true nature is openness, which is complete. We're open to all of life. We are all of life. We are all of life. And that knowing that what we are is all of life, there's just this fullness. We feel full. We feel content and fulfilled. So at the end of the day, ultimately, the purpose of life is not so much the thing that we think we're creating. The thing that gets created as the piece of art or the business or the charity or the life in service, the thing that gets created is a byproduct of knowing our true nature, knowing that what we are is contentment, what we are is already fulfilled. The more deeply we know that we feel this, the fulfillment of knowing that our true nature, the more the thing in the world that we create is a byproduct, becomes inevitable. It's going to get created. Did you hear, Marion, that makes sense or it still puzzles you there?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Be an ally for any artist if you feel for this. If you feel for this, simply be an ally, be that whisperer. It's okay. Find your way, stay open. Yeah. That's what artists need. Yeah. Just a tree, a person, like an animal in their life that just loves them regardless and let them be themselves. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So again, any questions, unmute yourself. Love to hear what's unfolding for you, what looks a little confusing or an obstacle for you. We'll take a look what's really here to be revealed. Hello, who's this?
Karen.
Erin, hi.
Hey, I had when we were first doing the meditation, I was thinking about how I'd like to just be kind of like an intuitive channel for inspiration and hope and help, especially the youth, to, not look around and go, well, what am I doing anything for, and what came up was this kind of feeling of, always being awkward and not the best communicator, and it was like, all these blocks and things. And then it was, I can just see exactly what you're saying, how you just bring yourself to a place of openness, and then it's like, that's not there. So it's like, where am I looking? Or so that can come up, but that doesn't have to be, I mean, like where you return your focus to, which would be the openness. So help to kind of reframe like blocks and obstacles or things where I'm feeling stuck in.
Right.
So
Yeah. Love it. Yeah.
yeah.
So the returning of the focus of attention to openness,
Yeah.
this is what is cultivated, this return of the attention to rest and relax and merge as openness. More and more frequently, as opposed to that attention really sticking and getting caught up in the awkwardness, you can't do this, what am I doing, thoughts, feelings. Yeah. Attention getting caught up in, I've got to do something to change, get rid of, improve, avoid, or deny, or suppress, or fix this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of which feeds this, feeds the obstacle, validates it. Yeah. To not validate, not feed it, the attention to return, to resting in and out and merge and become infinite openness that with no end. Yes, that's what I'm calling the shift in the paradigm. That's when the shift in the paradigm happens, because what is returned to is a lived experience of an infinite field of potential. An infinite field of potential. The oak tree is in potential in the acorn. The living a life of service, in service to youth or whatever, you feel the potential for that. There may not be a fully grown activity of that, but it's in potential. Okay, you keep feeling this, the validity of this and the potential of this, and you and your and what it needs there is your attention. Segueing from Marion's question about how can we get what we need for that acorn to start to burst open. Well, beyond the amazing capacity that the young child can absorb nutrients from a dog or a person in their life or a tree if it's not there at home, for that young child's true essence to remain alive, encapsulated like the acorn is, the acorn can go for years and years, or hundreds of years, thousands of years, yeah, until there's enough sunshine and ingredients for that acorn to burst open. Seeds can be thousands and thousands of years old. And yes, although this body mind, is going to die at some point, call die, nevertheless, this potential is not personal to us. Yes, you see the potential for this unfolding of sharing our true nature in different forms, sharing love, sharing wisdom, sharing healing. This is not personal to us, this is universal. And so when we get to the stage where we're recognizing for ourselves that this potential is here, we can then nurture that potential becoming formed into behavior and activity and the creation in life by the attention maintaining, returning more again and again and again to being openness, being that pure potential again. Attention, knowing that what we are is this potential. This potential never runs out. And that's why we hear people who start running marathons at 85 years age and writing their first novel at age 90. This is not a freak occurrence. This is absolutely possible, you see, when the attention keeps returning to the openness where the pure potential is an ever-flowing fountain that can become refined. And it seems to me the older we get, because there is when there is an awareness of the finite nature of the body, the finite nature of life in the body, the finite opportunity to experience as this body mind a particular creation of life and service, or creating a form of some sort. When there's a finiteness to that finiteness, and when there's not a fear, not a fear of death, not a fear of death, that knowledge of the finite nature of the mind-body system is a great aid, is a wonderful assist to become more, shall we say, disciplined, if that's not any kind of punishment word, disciplined in allowing attention to return to openness, as opposed to letting attention get caught up in stressful, unproductive thoughts. Because there's an awareness that there is not a lot of time, linear time in the body. That's not infinite. Our potential is infinite. It lives beyond the body. That's that idea. Yeah. It's not personal to me, it's universal. But in terms of really owning this potential and letting it become a lived expression, a sensory, kind of juicy, 3D, multidimensional experience, that there's a finite opportunity as this identified self. So the older we get, that's where people can sort of, the acorns pop, and there's the novel's being written, the marathon's being run, and it's a big surprise, but to them it's not. It's like it just came out of me. Yeah. I don't know where I've ended up with that for you, Karen, but where are you with that?
Oh no, that was good about because that would be, I guess, the next step is here's this idea, and then you're returning to openness, and it's just that's like what you're doing is just being open, and then whatever you need will come, and that just allows that inspiration to come through. It's not like it's like, you know what I mean? It's coming through you as whatever is, because that's the potential. It's not like you are the potential, you know what I mean?
No, it's not an individual potential belonging to somebody. It is
Right.
life. It is life itself. You know, there's that poem by Kahil Gibran, in terms of producing children. Your children are not your children. They are life's longing for itself. They are not yours. They don't belong to you. They're not of your making. They are life's longing for itself happening. Yeah. Our creations that are our true desires. Certainly, I would say own it. You know, say yes to it. Be honest with yourself. I want to be an artist. Great. Love it. You know, say yes to that. Open to that. Get really curious about that pathway. Yeah. And at the same time, yeah, that's another way that the trajectory of getting into action and the creation of that potential into form, into a activity of service or an activity or making something in the world, a material, something material, the trajectory can become hijacked if we think it's all up to me. It's all up to me to get it right. That's a heavy burden. Now, this openness, remaining open as the impulse is honored, as it's owned, meaning it's acknowledged, that we tell the truth about it. I really do want to create as an artist or be in service. Yeah, we just say yes to it. Then, and we stay open. We don't contract around it, like it's all up to me and I've got to make it work. There's the withdrawal. That constriction is another opportunity to open. And then, and there's no time lost, you see. If we feel we've spent 25 years of our life doing a job in corporate just to keep the bread on the table, and what we really want to do is being an artist, what seems to me that there's no time lost, that potential can absolutely calibrate to the remaining life in the body. It's like it's being incubated. So what somebody can achieve in a few years, you know, the 90-year-old writing a novel for the first time, what they can achieve in 6 months writing a novel that might have taken years, you know, in their 20s, or somebody else takes 20 years or 7 years to write a novel. Yeah, no, nothing wrong about that. But that what can be achieved in a so-called short space of time, again, the paradigm shifts when we're really allowing this pure potential to express with nothing obstructing it. Anything else there, Karen, with that? That was a great question.
Oh no, thank you. That really helped.
Lovely. Hello, you're on my screen in a white sweatshirt and your hand is up. I don't know what your name is because the names aren't showing on my screen.
Okay. Fiona, hi. Thank you. My name's Judy.
Hi, Judy.
And sorry, I came in late on this. I just saw your email, actually. I just want to really say thank you very much. It's really resonating with me. And I've certainly experienced a lot of what you're speaking of. And what I really is this going to be recorded or
The recording is going out as the audio only. Yeah.
okay, so I'll be able to listen to the whole thing from the get-go. Okay, good. Thank you. That's I think the main thing for now.
Yes, lovely. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Anything else before we go? I'm happy to hang out with you a little bit longer. Just really appreciate you showing up and deepening this idea of openness and what's possible, what becomes unobstructed when there's a return to openness, this posture of yes. Any more questions, Marion or Judy?
I'm sorry, was there someone else wanted to speak? No?
Okay.
Okay.
Judy, go ahead, Judy.
I'm sorry, because I didn't hear from the beginning, I wasn't sure what, I just have an issue. It's a family thing. I don't know if you're doing that kind of thing right now or what you're doing. So
I don't know. Let's see, shall we? Let's see what
okay.
happens.
Thanks very much. Okay. It was my granddaughter's birthday, and I've done a lot of work. I've just mentioned that, but anyway, neither here nor there at this moment. And anyway, there was a family gathering, and I wasn't included. And I'm just really feeling hurt and sad.
Beautiful.
So,
Yeah, thank
to
you.
get to openness, I'm struggling.
Yes, beautiful. Yes.
Yeah, so
Yes. So the feeling of struggle, the feeling of struggle, the feeling of upset,
very much so.
the feeling of feeling left out. Is
Yeah.
it possible? Take a look. Is it possible? There's no demand here. There's no pressure to perform. Is it possible for these feelings to simply be here?
Thank you.
Yes. Is it possible to drop trying to do something with these feelings?
Yes.
Is it possible to drop judging them?
Yes.
Is it possible to even to stop labeling them?
Yes.
Beautiful. What's here?
Calm.
Oh, beautiful. Any more words for this that's here?
Excuse me?
Are there any more words for calm? Just curious.
Sure. I can feel a sense of kindness, and there's certainly a stillness.
Stillness and kindness. Yeah. Yeah. Calm, stillness, kindness. All of it, all in essential ingredients
Yeah.
for the potential to express yourself in alignment with what you're really here for.
Can you speak a little more about that? Express myself. I understand what I'm here for.
Ah, well, tell me about that. What do you know about that?
Okay. To really live the truth of who I really am, which is unconditional love.
Beautiful. Yes.
Hurts to be out of alignment.
It hurts to what?
I feel really it hurts to be for me to be out of alignment with that. I
to be out of alignment with
yeah
that. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So it's what's been reached here in your lived experience is that when there is an out of alignment with expressing love, unconditional
yes.
love,
yes,
your mind body system is feeding back a sensation that doesn't feel good.
That's
your mind your the feedback alerts you to there's an out of alignment happening.
Right.
How mm-hmm. fabulous is that?
Oh, wonderful.
well not so
no, I'm sorry, I'm being
think of that technology that didn't used to exist in cars, the GPS system. So when the driver takes a different turn to what the GPS system has got going to get you there, yeah, it says turn around, you've gone the wrong way, blah 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 blah. Yeah. So this is what we have. We have this beautiful, refined inner compass that will feed back to us when we're going out of alignment with what we're here for, with our potential for expressing what we're here for. In your case, expressing love.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts. What a fantastic, your system's working beautifully. Your system is working beautifully. Now,
it is.
This refinement of staying absolutely true to the compass, to the purpose of how it looks and feels, the form of it, to express the truth of me as unconditional love. Yeah. This refinement continues and continues. And so how does the refinement happen? By experiencing going out of alignment, by experiencing a life event that can strike us or shock us into, oh, I suddenly feel I'm separate. I'm not included. I'm being ignored. I'm not being respected. And all of a sudden, we are just filled with uncomfortableness, pain, upset. Yeah, sense of betrayal. Yeah, it's like having a swarm of bees. You know, they're all. And it's painful. Now these moments are here for us to exercise what we have cultivated so far, which is to open to this pain, open to the hurt. Drop trying to change, fix, get rid of any of these feelings or change the situation or make it better, but simply to open to all of the feedback which is coming as an uncomfortable feeling, open to it. Return to being open. Return to our true nature, which is completely open. Unconditional love does not judge anything, anybody, any event as wrong, bad. Unconditionally loves it. And it's that overwhelming, it's nothing but unconditional love, which is a solvent, which dissolves pain and hurt, which dissolves and what is not true, which allows for a fresh perspective to be realized about a situation, allows us to be free of this is personal to me and I feel personally hurt. It allows us to be liberated from the prison of taking something personally. The more we take something personally, the more we will suffer. We will suffer. It's my problem. It's my problem. Yeah. The more we take it personally, the more we will suffer. And the suffering, again, is to be open to. There's the paradox. Suffering, rather than try and get rid of it, open to it. And we find the more we open to it, the more it starts to dissolve. The more it starts to simply resolve itself. The more we feel what we are, again, is openness. Another word for unconditionally loving infinite presence. What we are is openness. What the suffering is contraction. Yeah. So there's a refinement of our purpose always in these moments of struggle and pain on offer. It's like the knife is being sharpened by the roughness of life experience to be even more a refined allegiance to, faithfulness to, knowing what you're here for and living as it. So there's an openness. Is there what's here now? Is there with these ideas that we're sharing, Judy? What's here for you?
I really, agree with what you're saying. Absolutely. And I have had experiences of this. I get stuck with how do I open? How? And that's a mental how, I guess.
So the experience that you feel you have some experience of already.
Oh yeah, I have for
Now,
sure.
did you have a manual back then? And did you go by a manual? The experience 5 minutes ago of going into brief inquiry of opening, could you allow this feeling to be here? Could you drop judging this? Could
Yes.
you drop trying to label this? And the feeling of calm and the silence and the stillness. Yeah. There it came naturally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So can you find this openness now? Take a look.
Yeah, I'm having a look. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for the time. I appreciate this.
Is it possible to be open to whatever is here now?
It's
Even just a,
possible. It's
yeah,
possible.
that's it. Could you allow this possibility to show more of itself?
Yes.
To the point where this that looks like a possibility becomes an undeniable reality. That what is here is openness. And if attention is going to something arising within openness, some feeling, some upset, some hurt, is it possible to allow those feelings to arise and for openness to still be here?
Yes.
There we go.
Thank you.
And so there's a choice happening here, which is naturally made, where the reality of openness is here, and there may be some content arising as upset and hurt, but what there is openness is for attention to merge in and as openness and to return to simply being open. And there will continue to be something arise, a hurt, an upset, a memory, a feeling, a doubt, a question. Yeah. But really there's this anchoring in and as openness that allows for all these arisings to come up and to go back into and dissolve back into openness. The content of what's arising in openness does not become a distraction away from openness. It becomes something that's aware of. Oh, there's some upset, but the attention does not go towards that. The attention remains as openness, which doesn't have an issue with upset. Doesn't fight with it, doesn't make it wrong. And this steady openness, this presence, this unconditional lovingness can reveal itself as clarity. If there's been something of a conflict in the family, unconditional love can arise in the shape of some wisdom. It can also, in terms of, oh, I think I would like to say this to this person. Yeah. But it comes from love. It comes from love, not from reactivity, hurt, and betrayal. And an unconditional love can shape itself as firmness. Unconditional love can say, I love you, and swearing at me or being aggressive towards me is not okay with me. It can be firm. It can say no, but the no comes from love.
I really, absolutely resonate 100% with what you're saying.
And our world will change. Our world is changing.
Thank you.
Yeah, with this understanding that unconditional love can say no, but it doesn't diminish unconditional love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, all of you, for
Yes.
sharing yourself and the beauty of your inquiry and just how much coherency there is for all of you. Just know that in the way that you're living, in the way you're opening to your being to express yourself, is very much shared. And we don't need to reach a point of 51% of humanity is looking in this direction for there to be a shift in the paradigm. We are the shifting paradigm in our daily life, and we can get a sense of the shared nature of this shifting paradigm when we meet in groups like this. So thank you for showing up.
Thank you, Fiona. When you say these words of wisdom, they stick in my head and they play at appropriate times in the future, which is always helpful. But sometimes I forget part of them, like you were saying, that the product isn't the most important thing. So what is the most important thing? I didn't get that part.
So we're not downplaying the product. Products, stuff that is made, acts of service that are just fantastic. Yeah, we're not downplaying. We're saying that the products, rather than like endeavors of struggle and effort and push and burnout, yeah, become byproducts. Byproducts when we know who and what we really are, when we know ourselves as openness, when we occupy the shape of yes to life that has no opposite, where we know ourselves as unconditional love, when that is known, experientially known. That's why we forget conceptually, because it needs to be experientially known to be remembered. Yes. When we know this experientially and it becomes more and more the lived home base, then the products become this byproduct.
I'll have to think about that a while, but thank you.
if there still remains, when we know ourselves as openness and our true nature is unconditional love, if there remains a desire to create in life in the way of creating a product or creating a service, then there's nothing stopping that from happening, because openness will only open to that. It's a byproduct of openness, as opposed to something that you've got to motivate yourself for, you know, grow muscles for, force yourself, push. In a lot of culture in the developed world, there's not a lot about, you know, go for it, push, you know, got to have courage and you've got to make it happen. And there's a lot of burnout and stress. So what we're here for, Marion, and what you are, the only reason people turn up to conversations like this, Marion, is that you are responding to your inner compass that is pointing to and generating an interest in conversations like this, that are all fundamentally about coming to know experientially who we really are, the unconditional nature of our being, unconditional love. Does that help, Marion?
Very much, yes.
Lovely. Okay, well, I've really enjoyed seeing you all and look forward to a next time. And lots of love to all of you.
Thank you so much.
Bye for now.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you.